Have you ever had the experience that you were sharing your faith with someone, and maybe you shared John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life"? Or maybe you shared Romans 6:23, "But the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." But they didn't accept Christ, and you went away thinking, "Man, I blew that. I just got my words all mixed up, and man, God, I'm sorry. I really didn't do good at all." Or maybe you had taught a Sunday school class, or maybe led a youth Bible study, and you opened up the scriptures, but when you got through, you just thought, "Man, I didn't do too good a job of doing that. I don't know if they understood anything I said. I pretty much just wasted everybody's time." Or perhaps you have been talking to a friend and they were sharing with you a situation they were going through, and a Bible verse came to your mind, and so you shared this Bible verse with them and they looked at you like you were crazy. And you went away thinking, "Man, they think I'm a nut. Whew, I blew that." Or perhaps you are looking at the obituary of a friend of yours and they said, "Instead of flowers, donate to the Gideon Memorial Bible Fund." And you were thinking to yourself, "I'm not going to give that just so a Bible can sit in a hotel room in a drawer somewhere and gather dust. That'd just be a waste of my money." Now, if you've ever had any experiences similar to these, then you need this promise that God is giving us today. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. God has given us many promises in His Word that we, through faith and patience and diligence, can claim those promises and see God do great things in our lives. Some of these promises are conditional upon us doing certain things. Others are unconditional. They depend totally on God. Today is one of those unconditional promises. Now, today, the promise that we are going to look at comes in a prophecy that Isaiah is giving about a future time when the gospel will be proclaimed to all the nations. Not just to the nation of Israel, but it will be proclaimed to all the nations. And it is within the context of this promise of the gospel going throughout the world that God gives this promise that we see in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 10. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as I read. "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth in shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign which will not be cut off." You may be seated. God has promised us that His Word will never fail to accomplish His purpose. Here's the key truth for you to remember today. Because God promises that His Word will never fail to accomplish His purpose, we can use God's Word in absolute confidence. I call this God's unconditional guarantee that His Word will always, in every circumstance, accomplish His purpose. Now we're going to look at this promise, first of all, to seek to understand it, and then we're going to see the results of this promise as given in verses 12 and 13. First, let's look at the promise that God's word will never fail to accomplish His purpose. Verse 11, "So will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it." Now, the first thing we need to recognize is that God is making this promise about His word, not our words. It's God's word that He promises will never fail to accomplish His purpose. He says, "So will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty." So the key to success is we must use God's word. When we place our confidence in God's word, not in our word, God's promise is unconditional. Well, what is God's word? God's word for us is the Bible. God says, "My word shall not go out of my mouth." Well, where do we find the words of God? Right here. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." Now, you know inspired by God in the original Greek is only one word, which literally means God breathed. You see, when you and I speak a word, we have to force air over our vocal cords. That's what causes the sound. You can put your hand in front of your mouth, and if you say breathe, you will feel air coming out. God breathed is God spoken or God worded. Every word in the original manuscripts are exactly the words that God wanted in His Bible. We believe in what's called the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. That means we believe every word. And not only every word, but every letter in every word. And not only every letter in every word, but every stroke in every letter of every word in the original is inspired, God-breathed. He used men of different ages, of different personalities, of different walks in life. But He used those men as they were moved by the Spirit of God to write exactly the words He wanted in His book. And it's not like He put them in a trance and they just started writing, not at all. But you can see their unique personalities coming out in their writings, but God miraculously used men to bring about a perfect word, a perfect product. And it is this word that God says will never fail to accomplish His will. That's why it's so crucial that we use the Word of God in our witnessing, in our teaching, in our counseling, in our sharing, in any ministry, in any service to God. It is crucial that we use the Bible and not rely on our words, but rely on His word. You see, it's not our clever words. It's not our carefully thought out arguments that will accomplish God's will. But it is God's word that He says will never fail to accomplish His purpose. And sometimes it goes out in the strangest ways, as is the case with a man named Chaim Pham. Chaim Pham was a Vietnamese Christian. In 1971, he was interpreting for an American preacher who came over to Vietnam to preach. And he interpreted for this preacher. When South Vietnam fell to the communists arrested Chaim because they said he was aiding and helping the Americans. And so they threw him into prison. They tortured him. They continued to beat him, and they indoctrinated him continually in the communist propaganda. And finally, after some time, they had worn him down. And he began to say, "Well, if there is a God, why am I having to suffer like this?" And he began to doubt if there was a God. And he even came to the place that he said, I am not going to pray anymore. I do not believe there's a God. The very next day, he was given the unwelcome job of having to clean the prison toilet. As he was cleaning the prison toilet, he saw a piece of toilet paper that had English writing on it. He took it and cleaned it the best he could and stuck it in his pocket. That night when he was all alone, he pulled out this piece of paper with English words on it. And he read, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. And he just wept. He knew his Bible well enough to know there were no better verses in all Scripture that could have spoken to him than those words. He volunteered the next day, let me clean the toilets again. And what he found out, there was a communist officer in the prison camp, in his utter contempt for Christianity and for the Bible, was using the Bible for toilet paper. And so every day, Haim would find that toilet paper, clean it off the best he could, take it back, and make it a part of his scriptures. You see, what that communist officer meant for evil, for contempt, God used to accomplish his purposes, for his word will never go out and not accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. His word, not our word. Secondly, we see that God promises his word will not return to him empty without accomplishing what he wants it, desires it to accomplish and succeeding in the manner with which he sent it out. God always has a purpose and a desire when his word goes out. Whenever we speak God's word, whenever we read his word, you can be certain that God has a purpose, God has a desire for that word, and it will accomplish God's purpose and God's desire. Now, most of the time, we don't know what God's desire is until after it happens. But it doesn't matter. We don't need to know what God's purpose is. We don't need to know what his desire is for his word going out. All we need to do is make sure his word goes out. We need to put forth that word in faith, knowing God's using it. C.H. Spurgeon was one of the greatest English preachers back in the 1800s. Many of you have heard of him. He was asked to preach in a huge auditorium called the Agricultural Hall in London. Now, back in those days, obviously, they didn't have electronic sound systems, and so he had to depend completely on his own voice. So he never had preached here before, and he wanted to go and test out the acoustics. So he went the day before he was to preach, and as far as he knew, the place was empty. He didn't realize there was a janitor way back in the balcony working. And so to test the acoustics, Charles Spurgeon said, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that janitor in that balcony way in the back, that word did not go out without accomplishing what God desired. And God used that word to bring that man to his knees and bring him into the kingdom of God. Spurgeon was just testing the acoustics. But God said, my word will never fail to accomplish what I want to accomplish. Now, to help us understand this spiritual reality of God's word never failing to accomplish what he wants it to accomplish, he goes to the physical world, as he often does, to help us understand spiritual reality. And he uses the thing that we're all aware of, rain and snow, in verse 10. He says, For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. So here we go. God is taking something that we all are aware of. We know that when it rains and when it snows, that waters the earth. And God uses that water to bring about growth. We all know that. He says, it is not going to go forth and return to me without accomplishing what I sent it out to do, and that is to bring growth. Now, we all recognize this reality. We say April showers bring May flowers, right? Last weekend, I wanted to transplant a muscadine vine that I had, and so I heard from the weather forecast that it was going to rain 1.5 to 2 inches last Sunday, and so on Saturday, I transplanted that muscadine vine because I knew it needed water right after it was transplanted. We all recognize that. This physical reality is meant to show us the spiritual reality of God's Word, that it will never go out without accomplishing what He wants it to accomplish. So every day when it rains, you just need to thank God. This is a reminder to me of how your Word, just like this rain, is not going to fail to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Your Word never goes out without accomplishing your purpose and your desire. Now, as I was thinking about this verse, and He said, so it is with His Word, I said, God, is there more here that You want me to see about the similarities between the rain and watering and the growth and Your Word? And I saw two things. First, there's always a time lapse between the rain and the visible effects. Remember that? We all recognize it, don't we? Have you ever noticed that each spring, at some time, and it's probably going to come in the next few weeks, there comes this rain, and you wake up the next morning and everything just suddenly looks like it bloomed green. You ever notice that? You think, man, everything just popped out. Well, it wasn't that rain that caused everything to pop out. The rain that came in December and January and February and March were just as crucial to that popping out green as the one that happened right before we saw it. So we all recognize there's a time lapse between the time we water and the time we see the growth. In fact, when you and I sow a plant, we water it. We don't go out the next day and expect it to be sprouting, but we continue to water it, don't we? Because we know that the water is having its effect, and if we continue to water and to be faithful, that in time it will bring forth the fruit. But the results are not immediate. This is seen clearly in a true story about a man named Elliot. Now, Elliot spent most of his adult life wasting it in drugs and alcohol, to the extent that he found himself in a motel room on Christmas Eve intent on taking his own life. His wife had kicked him out of the house. As he was getting ready to take his own life, he noticed this book on top of the TV. So he walked over to see what it was, and he saw it was a Gideon Bible. So in disgust, he just knocked it off the table, off the TV, and it fell right at his feet, and it fell open. It fell open to John 14:27. And he looked down, and he read words that changed his life. He read, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." And God's Spirit took those words and converted the soul of this man who was suicidal. He went back home. He got his marriage fixed up, repaired, restored. And today he's a pastor. Now, how long did that Gideon Bible sit in that motel room before it accomplished God's purpose? A week? A month? 6 months? A year? Maybe 5 years that Bible sat in that motel room, but God had it there for a purpose, and in God's time, it accomplished His desire. And so it is with God's Word. We cannot get discouraged. We must continue to water with the Word. God's Word will bring results when God is ready. Now, the second thing I noticed is that there's also an invisible work that the rain does before we ever see the effects, right? Something's going on under the ground with that rain before we ever see that growth pop out. And so it is with God's Word. The watering effect of God's Word is doing its work, accomplishing before we ever see the results pop up. Saint Augustine is an example of this. All of you have heard of Saint Augustine, one of the great theologians of church history. Well, he grew up in a Christian home, exposed to the Bible, but he only was exposed to it. He never embraced it. When he became a young man, he went into immorality and drunkenness. He just had very low character and just spent his life partying and just in drunkenness. When he finished college, he went to Milan and started a school of rhetoric, a school teaching persuasive speech. And it was even there that he began to study other religions and continue to live his wasteful, sinful, evil lifestyle of drinking and partying and immorality. Even at that time, he went to hear Bishop Ambrose because not he wanted to hear what God's Word said, but because he felt this bishop was a great speaker, very eloquent, and he enjoyed listening to him speak. So he was being exposed to the Word, but he was still living his sinful lifestyle. But then God began to deal with him, and he began to get under conviction. And he realized his lifestyle was not what it ought to be, and he wrestled. And finally, he got so miserable one day that he ran out into the garden, and he said, God, how long do I have to stay like this? And he heard this child singing, take up and read, take up and read. And he couldn't ever remember a children's game with those words. And so he felt God was telling him to take up and read. And he had the book of Romans in his lap. And so he opened it up, and it fell in Romans chapter 13. And he read these words, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, nor in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. And he said he knew God was speaking those words directly to him. It was like God, through the Apostle Paul, spoke those words into his heart. And he said, God, you were converting me to yourself through those words. Because God's Word always accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. Even though there may be a long time that the work is invisible before we see the results. And you can be certain that exposure to God's Word that Augustine had experienced through the years had had its effect. But it was on that day that God brought him through. People sometimes will ask me, preacher, how do you keep preaching week after week and preaching your heart out and just not seeing many results? How do you keep from getting discouraged? This promise keeps me from getting discouraged. I know, regardless of what I see or don't see, that God's Word will never go out, never, without accomplishing what He wants it to accomplish. And what He wants to accomplish is none of my business. My business is to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. It will never fail. So that's the promise. Now, what results can we expect from this promise that His Word will never fail? We see those in verses 12 and 13. First of all, we can go forth with joy and peace. For you will go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. You see, we'll have a joy because we know when we use God's Word in our sharing, in our teaching, in our preaching, in our counseling, that it is going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. That it does not depend on us. It depends on Him. I teach a class in preaching at Point University, and I tell my students, I said, you prepare your sermon like it all depends on you, but you preach it knowing it all depends on God. You see, this doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of preparing our lesson, of preparing our sermon, or learning how to witness. But it lets us know it doesn't depend on us when it's all said and done. It's God who will take His Word and use it. Therefore, we can go out in joy. We can go out in peace, even when we don't see results. That doesn't matter. We don't need to be fretful. We don't need to be anxious. We know God's at work. And His Word will never fail to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. You don't need to be worried that your lesson was a bomb. Man, I really blew that. If you were sharing God's Word, you didn't blow it. Because God has promised His Word will never fail to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Secondly, result is supernatural changes will happen. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will grow up. Instead of the nettle or the briar, the myrtle will come up. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, you know, you expect where there was a briar bush one year, that when it starts growing next spring, a briar bush is going to come up where that one was. You don't expect a cypress to grow up where you had a thorn bush, do you? No, for that to happen, something supernatural's got to happen. Now, what he's probably talking about is the supernaturally changed lives that come about when God's Word accomplishes His purpose of salvation and sanctification. Miraculous things happen. Lives are changed. Irina lived in a small village in Russia, and she lives there today. Most of the people in this village, and her husband, Mikhail, was one of those, spent their nights in drinking parties. He would drink and come in every night inebriated. She said that he did not beat her and the kids unless he was drunk. But once she became a Christian, he became drunk more often. And he would beat her and the children on many nights. Because of his drunkenness and his health reasons, he ended up having both of his legs amputated. And so he was in a wheelchair. But that didn't stop him from still getting drunk every night. But it came a day that Irina just could not stand the abuse any longer. And so she and her kids left. She got worried about him 2 days later, so she went back to the apartment. When she opened the door, she saw him lying on the floor, crying, begging her to forgive him. You see, after she had left, in a drunken stupor, he had fallen out of his wheelchair onto the floor. And when he had come to and realized his condition, he was trying to get up and he reached up to grab the tablecloth. And as he pulled it to try to pull himself off, a book fell down off the table. And it was her Bible. And he began to read the Bible, and God's Word, which never fails to accomplish His purpose, was used by the Spirit of God to convert his soul. And he was begging her now to forgive him for what he'd done. She says now that they have the happiest family in the world, that they are all walking with Jesus. Supernaturally changed lives take place when God accomplishes His will through His Word. Not only lives, but societies are changed. Clarence Hall was a war correspondent during World War II. And he was traveling with the armed forces when they went into Okinawa. And he tells the incident that happened that was later put into a book called What I Found at Shumabuk. Shumabuk is a small village on Okinawa. When they approached the village, the armed soldiers, with their guns drawn, these two old men came out and bowed down and through the interpreter said, "Welcome, Americans, fellow Christians." And they didn't know what to do with that, so they called for the chaplain to come up and the intelligence agency to come up. And what they found out was 30 years earlier, a missionary on his way to Japan had stopped in this village long enough to share Christ, see two brothers converted, and he gave them a Bible. He left. Didn't talk to them about discipleship. Didn't talk to them about how to study the Bible. He just left them a Bible. For 30 years, those brothers faithfully taught God's Word so that every person in the village had become a Christian. They built their whole society in that village on the Word of God. They were a perfect democracy. They used the Bible and the principles of the Bible to govern their village. And Clarence Hall says when they entered that village, they were amazed. In the other villages they had gone into on Okinawa, they were dirty, they were filthy, the people were poverty-stricken. He said, but in this village, it was clean, it was neat, everything was in order. He said the people were friendly, they were kind to us, they were all living well off. And a sergeant, army sergeant, who was with Clarence Hall, who was touring with him, made the comment, I think maybe we're trying to change the world with the wrong materials. It's not the M16, but it's the Word of God that never fails to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. So we can go out in peace and joy. We can see supernaturally changed lives. And the third result is that God will be glorified when His Word accomplishes His purpose. In verse 13, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. One of the greatest testimonies to the power of God is a changed life, is a changed culture. And God is glorified when His Word changes a wretched sinner into a wonderful saint. How many of you have heard of Angola Prison in Louisiana? It has been known as the bloodiest prison in America until 1995. In 1995, God put a Christian warden over that prison. His mama told him, God's going to hold you accountable for those men hearing the gospel. He invited New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary to come in and start a Bible college in the prison. Now there are 7 chapels and hundreds of Christian inmates in Angola Prison. You can go on YouTube and see the story. New Hope, Angola Prison. They have actually sent out 28 missionary prisoners to other prisons for 3-month periods for them to go in as prisoners and share the gospel in other prisons. The warden said, all prisons have gangs, and we're no different except our gang leaders are all pastors. Hallelujah. There has been a dramatic change in this most notorious prison because of the Word of God. The warden said, when he was asked why the change, he said, the Bible school is still the generator of everything good coming out of Angola Prison. Because God promises His Word will never fail to accomplish His purpose. Use God's Word. When you study God's Word, He's promised that Word's never going to fail to accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. When you pray God's Word back to Him, He says His Word will never fail to accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. When you share Jesus and use His Word, when you talk to people at work and you use the Scriptures as part of your conversation, God has promised that Word will never fail to accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. So we can go out with absolute confidence, not in ourselves, but in our God. That's why I call it God's unconditional guarantee. Will you take Him up on it? Let's pray. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our minister of community connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from. It doesn't matter your cultural background. I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.